designed for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Art Alexakis and Greg Eklund are both here from Everclear. Always good to see Everclear.
And the crowd goes wild.
Thanks for having us again.
It is our pleasure.
9 times?
Yeah, really.
It's got to be up there, huh?
I'm always new and fresh.
I'm gonna set up an office in the building and just... That way I know where it is.
That way you won't get lost. I know, it's looking kind of weird out there.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get him started, please.
All right. Oh, really?
Okay, sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Sore subject.
So are they at least going to show porn in this movie theater next door?
I've been petitioning for some time now.
I figure you have. That's
not
why
gonna
I
happen.
As a matter of fact, I'd like you guys to sign something. the weight of your celebrity could probably push this one over the top.
Yeah.
I'm saying you got 7 theaters. They all got to be just straight PG. Or NC-17 stuff. You can't sprinkle a little porn in there. That's my plan.
Do they have porn theaters anymore?
No, I don't. I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, they have gay porn theaters.
No, they have. They have straight.
There's
up in
Pussycat.
Portland.
No, there's one in here. Isn't the Pussycat over on?
Well, it's called Tomcat now.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, the one that was over on Western sort of closed down, and then the one over on Santa Monica, ironically, had a metamorphosis into a gay theater.
It's the Tomcat.
You know what I think could work, though? I think if you got an old theater, did it up totally 70s, and just showed, like, vintage stuff, and it could have a renaissance.
Yeah, but it'd be cool for about a year.
It'd be pouring film at that point.
Right. But, but it'd be like once in a while they'll do that, like, midnight disco bowling, you know, just to kind of breathe a little life into the joint.
Right.
I think it'd be cool. You know, up in Portland, there's a place called the Jefferson Theater. Have you ever?
No, I've no.
But did you know about? I know you never went there, but did you know about it?
No.
Now it's this hip place where couples go, and it's like it turns into this kind of swinging thing. I've been told about.
Wow.
Where it's like the young tattooed alternative young couples go there and watch 70s porn. And
well, there you go, Adam.
And swing.
Yeah, I was right in.
And swing. Yeah.
Once again, I've been scooped.
Yeah.
And
you got to act on these things.
I know. I keep putting off my porn dreams. Slow Motion Daydream, by the way. Speaking of dreams, is the name of the new CD from Everclear. It's coming out Tuesday, March 11th. So that's this Tuesday. And if you guys want to know about some places you can find Everclear, some tour dates and things like that, just go to www.everclearonline.com.
Yeah, we didn't get everclear.com. That belongs to a plumber somewhere in Cincinnati, and he wouldn't give us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't part. Did you offer him some money?
Yeah, absolutely. We offered him pain, fear, pleasure, money.
And he wouldn't go for
No,
huh?
Wouldn't go for it.
All right, so this is everclearonline.com.
Absolutely.
All right, and let's see. What else is going on? Art's a big DJ, KRNRK.
I know, you guys were supposed to be on my show today, and you blew me off.
Well,
so all we did is talk about the new Everclear record, but we got a lot of calls, so I think it was good. But we did it. I was sitting in your chair right there.
Oh, you did it out here?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
I looked really important.
Drew, what was your excuse for not supporting Art today?
You couldn't make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't want you solo?
No, that's not true. I would have took him.
I just heard you could make it, and this, we start talking about doing another time.
I would have taken the scraps, see? Throw me a bone.
Well, Drew, did you make it? How'd Friday go for you in
North Carolina?
I'm a little tired.
New Carolina.
It was good. It seemed to go well.
Mm. You get home okay?
I got home that night. I made the Little League game on Saturday.
So Katie Holmes, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
She's a little toed, but she's looking good. You know?
Oh, was she giving you a little toed?
No, she was all right. She was nice to us, I think.
Very nice, yeah.
But she seemed like the kind of person that, you know, got into this young celebrity hit and sort of didn't know how to take it.
Is she a star?
Mm. Yeah.
What do you mean? I couldn't say anything bad about it. What does that mean?
No, she didn't have any
attitude. What I mean? She's a star. You know, when you cross over that threshold where everybody's calling your name and recognizing you and doing all that stuff.
No, she was very approachable and came up to us as soon as we got there.
Yeah, but you guys are famous too, though.
Good point.
You guys
bro.
Are you
huh?
guys, yeah. no, you guys
we're
are
superstars.
No, no, no. You guys are icons. That's
icons.
It's different.
I had a great experience.
You just talk about Discharge. I mean, how cool is that?
That's pretty cool. I guess not everyone can claim that fame.
I was supposed to be picked up at 5:15 from North Carolina to leave for the airport. So I was just going to stay up all night because I got back to the hotel at 3:30 mm-hmm. on Thursday night. And I couldn't really sleep, do an hour sleep thing. So I just packed, watched TV, beat off, and hung out.
In
and,
that order.
And now our driver, Carol,
yeah.
was she's known for what?
For
besides
being
her deer
early.
Hunting.
Being
she's
early.
Prompt. Yeah. She likes
extra
to hang
early,
out. She
yeah.
likes to show up a half hour early and sit in the van outside of where she's going. I come waddling downstairs. I got a 6:15
flight.
It's raining.
Flight. Ice rain. Like sleeting.
It's raining. It's
sleeting. Yeah.
We're leaving it. I got a 6:15 flight. Out of Wilmington, and I told her to pick me up at 5:15 because the airport's pretty close. I come down at 5:20. Guess who isn't there?
Oh, no.
5:20 in the morning, it's sleeting. I don't even know what to do. I start sleeting in my pants. I'm like, I'm going to miss this goddamn flight after staying up all night. So I go into the office. I'm like, oh, where's yeah. Reliable Carol? She. Yeah. Last thing I said to her is, I'll see you at 5:15.
An hour and a half before that. Yeah.
Right. She dropped me off at 3:30. And they're like, well, boy, she's always on. And it's like, I'm starting to think she got carjacked or yeah. something. And so I said, well, can you guys call me a cab and tell them to hurry? Because now the flight's leaving at 6:15. It's 5:30 now. So anyway.
These days, 45 minutes? I don't know, man.
Wait around 10 minutes for the cab. And as the cab pulls up, I see it from Carol. The office. I grab my stuff. I go hustling out. Here comes Carol riding behind him. And then it's like, I'm sorry, but I got to jump in the van now. And the manager of the hotel's like, you're going to need to feed the kitty over yeah. there with the driver. So I had to pay the driver of the taxi. I had to give the guy $20 for basically showing up.
That's what they call feed the kitty?
I don't know.
I was always told it was something else.
Yeah, that's a bachelor. That's a bachelor party. But Drew, what kind of send-off was that?
What was wrong with Carol? What happened?
She fell asleep in a parking lot. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You made your plan.
Yeah.
Wow.
But here's the comedy is on the way out. My driver never showed up on Sunday when I was leaving L.A. and had to catch another flight. So I got two, Drew, only me,
you're like
buddy.
Rodney Dangerfield. No respect.
No respect.
Horrible.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
thank God it was you. I would have freaked out.
What would you do? What was just 5:45 in the morning?
I could see you getting a little stressed.
I would have been stressed out.
Drew, not a big tipper with the cabs, as I found out on a... did a $12 fare. Drew gave the guy $20 and said, give him back $7.
Yeah. No, this was a pre-negotiated yeah. deal with those
explain
guys.
Explain that.
The deal was, you notice the meter was not running?
No, running meter.
We agreed
on
what
meter.
The bill beforehand, and I said, I'll give you another extra buck at the end. He goes, all right, great, great. That was the deal.
I call that a $1 tip, Drew. I call it a $1 tip.
They didn't have to negotiate. I would have given them more
age,
money.
I don't know.
But negotiate is the price of the fare,
but
and then you give them the tip.
Like, it didn't seem like a normal
It would have been. It would have been $12-13 to go from the hotel to the gym. There's a long, long ways away. All right, Drew, big tipper. You realize I look bad when you look bad. All right, where are we going?
No. Part of the
Drew,
problem
seriously.
By the way,
what, you act like
gave
he's
the guy,
your wife, man.
Gave the guy $20 on the $12 fare and said, give me back $7.
Wait, Adam.
That's what he said.
Wait, part of the problem was I had $25 in my pocket, and we were going to have to get home. Also,
No, I had $40 in my sock.
Well,
you asked me if I had money.
In your
the first thing,
sock? What are you doing? What are you?
I'm gonna bring my wallet
grade?
To the gym. The first thing I did, you said you got money. It's the first thing you
That's
said to me.
You bring for the gym.
And
like
I said
bucks.
I got money. I didn't have to pay for the gym like
I
Drew.
Got you
so you're
home.
Hiding your money from Drew.
Yeah, Drew
this
hates
quite
it.
This is quite an adventure.
We went to the gym, and the guy was like, hey, Pops, $25. And he goes, hey, Ace Girl, you're in, buddy. Your money's no good here. Have a protein shake. Drew hates that. All right, Andy?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. I love your show.
Great.
I wanted to tell you that, and I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Is it natural to masturbate other than using your hand?
Natural?
Yeah.
Or do you mean is it common?
Common.
What do you mean other than using your hand?
Yeah. You're putting your penis into something?
Yeah, like...
I think we've heard about the mattress action here, didn't we?
Mm. Right.
And pillows and things, and then beanbag chairs.
My favorite thing
I put
like,
the F in futon, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite thing is the couch cushion.
Mm-hmm. Couch cushion, yeah, you've heard of that.
Yeah. I like the way I do it. I'll get a Ziploc bag, and I'll put it in there, and then I'll put on a condom, and I'll put on some baby oil, and then I'll put it in the Ziploc bag and just go at it.
I just wish the ingenuity and thought that men put into their masturbatory rituals could be put into other endeavors.
I put it into dating personally. How old are you?
I'm 20.
20? Dude. Come on.
That's quite a routine you got going.
You put the condom on as well?
It doesn't get make a mess.
Yeah.
Safe sex.
He doesn't want to knock up the sofa and have a bunch of little throw pillows running around.
It's his mom's sofa. It's his mom's ottoman. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, but he's got the Ziploc bag already.
That's just get the grease off.
I don't want to get that baby oil all over the cushion. Yeah,
there you go. Well, you're a conscientious masturbator. Thank you.
And has your mom ever caught you?
No, I live by myself.
You live by yourself?
Well, I had a roommate like 2 months ago.
Right.
He took off.
How about a girlfriend?
Well, not right now.
Ever?
Who's got time with this guy's elaborate ritual going on every night?
I'm going to go back to the hotel and look at the divan in a whole different way.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, that's it?
Pretty much. I just wanted to know.
Well, it sounds like everything's going great for you, buddy.
Adam had some very
right
weird...
on track.
Listen, you had some weird stuff.
Oh, look at Drew over
was
here.
Was it honeydew melon or something?
I was kidding. Drew lashing back after the $1 tip charge I made against
him.
Wasn't it?
Do you blame him, though?
I don't, but I really had to hang my head in shame.
You hit him alone.
By the way, you didn't tell me about it until just now.
Did you put the honeydew melon back on the tray, though?
No, it was okay if my stepmom ate it. I didn't want my dad to.
No, is that the honeydew you said? Or what?
No.
Cantaloupe.
This is how rumors get started, Drew.
Cantaloupe.
Hey, Andy?
Yeah.
You're fine there, buddy. Well, why don't you get a girlfriend, though, okay?
Yeah, all right, then.
All right, buddy.
All right. Say hi to the juggies for me.
All right there, buddy boy.
All right. All right.
A little more cantaloupe action for you.
Let's talk to Cindy, who's 27. Cindy?
Yes.
What's up?
Whoa.
I'm in love with a straight girl.
You're a lesbian and you're in love with a straight girl.
Yeah.
Is that the first time that's happened to you?
Yeah.
And why? What is it about her? How'd this happen?
Well, she was a friend. Well, when I first saw her, I was attracted.
You're lesbian.
True, please.
You're attracted at first, right? So did you know that she was straight initially? Could you tell?
Yeah, I knew. I knew her boyfriend.
And yet you were still attracted.
Yeah.
Do you think there's some potential here at all?
I don't see. That's the thing I'm really confused about.
Well, you've never had crushes on straight girls before?
No.
Really?
Wow.
I find that peculiar.
Most of the gay people
not like this, though.
You're a lesbian. This is an obsession.
True, we know. Not like this.
Exactly.
Okay.
I like this.
All right.
Can I ask you a question? Have you always been lesbian?
I think I always have been, but I didn't know what a lesbian was until I hit my 20s.
Okay, so you have been with men before?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So do you think there's any chance of this girl coming around?
That's what she's leading me to believe, but she has a boyfriend.
She's leading you to believe that she
could.
Have you been
with her?
No.
Why is she leading you to believe that? Or how is she leading you to believe that?
She's told me she wishes she was broke up with her boyfriend for that reason.
To be with you. Yeah. To be with you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So you've told her how you feel about her?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
What? Wait a minute. You said you tell her you're in love with her?
Not exactly, no.
But you told her you wanted to have sex with her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to respond.
She said, I wish I was broken up with my boyfriend so I could be with you.
After a little while, she was telling me, she was, when she was actually broken up with her boyfriend, she wasn't around for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, around me.
Magically.
She lived in a different city. Yeah. And, well, she lived in a different city at the time.
Yeah.
And then she moved back into the city and got back together with him, and then I saw her again.
Hang on for a second. If this was a guy, and I don't mean a gay relationship, I just mean if this was a guy talking about
what
a girl.
What would we tell him, yeah.
Like, buddy, dream on.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah.
This chick's chaotic.
She's holding a carrot up for you.
She's screwing you around. Yeah.
The girl, it seems like the girl that she's enamored with is liking the attention.
And the question, though, really for Cindy is why can't she get over this and get on with things?
Cindy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all feel like she's sort of sending you a message.
Well, a mixed message, albeit. But why can't you just get over it and get on with a real relationship? Why do you have to be obsessed about this one? If you were 14, we'd understand this, but you're 27.
I really don't know. This is
27 is like 64 in straight years. 27-year-old lesbian's like a postmenopausal straight woman. Oh, yes. You've seen the hair. You've seen the posture. It's very true.
Really
it's very true.
About her.
Hobbies.
Your what?
A lot of gardening.
Something about her.
Talking
something
about bulbs all the time.
And how long have you been obsessed with her?
Huh?
How long have you been obsessed with her?
They love their pets more than anything else.
How long has this been going on?
For about 6 months now.
6 months.
No. And you've never been intimate with her?
About a year, actually.
A year. And then during that time, you've not had a relationship with anybody else?
No.
Oh, that's bad news. Come on.
What's up there,
baby? Come on, Cindy.
What do you do for a living?
I work at the answering service.
All right.
You're a lesbian.
True, please. She said that hours ago. And is there... you have
what does that mean?
Is there a lesbian community?
I didn't say
it.
He's
not
saying
it.
Do that again. Do that again.
Oh.
You're a lesbian.
Okay.
You got to watch
Drew.
Okay. He's not throwing
watch
his voice.
My mouth. Okay.
Yeah,
well, you know,
voice.
He wasn't drinking water. When he's drinking water, I'm not worried about it.
You're gay.
So, listen, Cindy... Why don't you find a nice lesbian?
Yeah, really. You've got it. You've got to find a real relationship. As soon as you have a relationship, you'll be over this.
You settle down. You get one of those vans. You do one of those mobile dog grooming things. It's great. All right? Well, lesbians love that. They love grooming dogs. Do you notice that?
I have not, but
maybe they feel that the traditional job market is close to them because of bias.
Oh. I'm just saying.
Hey,
I want work.
Looks good. Sounded good.
I was going to install this window in this lesbian's dog grooming shack, and she was like Ed Asner, and I was like, we started talking, and she's like, she told me her hobbies were black powder rifles, and I thought, I picture her with a musket, yeah. And I was like, oh my god, wow, black powder rifles.
She looked like Ed Asner.
She was like hairy and haunchy, and she liked them black powder guns. We want to hear a song.
Yes,
yeah. All right, you queued up there, Anderson. Let's hear a new song from Everclear. This one is called Volvo Driving Soccer Mom.
You know I used to be a bad girl. I got busy in the bathroom at my high school prom. Yeah, I used to be a dancer at the local strip club. But now I know my vibe went from my wrong. Yeah, yeah, I really used to be a bad
friends, Everclear. Slow Motion Daydream is the name of the new CD. It's coming out this Tuesday. Let's see. Well, I guess it's about time to take a break. Art and Greg are both here from the band, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I love this song.
All American Rejects.
Yeah, that's right.
Did they come in here?
Yeah. Awesome. Nice guys.
Nice boys.
Yeah, they're a good band, too. Let's see. Art and Greg are both here from... Everclear, that's right.
That would be us.
Yeah, I got up real early this morning and drove out to this racetrack about 100 miles away, so I'm a little out of it, you know.
You're always out of it when we're in. You're never at your best when we're in here.
I know.
You're always coming or going.
It's true.
I know.
You're always dragging.
And they had agreed to be on my radio show today.
I know.
That's okay. They'll regret it.
We agreed to it. Ann asked us like Wednesday, and we're like, nah, I can't. I got to go to this racetrack on Sunday. And Drew just sat there with his thumb in his mouth.
I said, figure out
how to get that buck back from the guy who drove us to the gym.
Let's reschedule it. Come on, dear.
All right. Well, we will. All right. Let's go to the phones here and speak to Robert, who's 20. Robert?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. This is my situation. I'm 20. My girlfriend is 19. And we've been together for about, well, I've known her for about 4 years. We've been together steady for about a year now. And we've been doing pretty good with just regular sex. But now she's kind of getting curious about oral sex. And I don't know if I really want to do that or not.
Do that to her or she to you?
Does she do it to you?
Yeah.
But you don't want to do it to her?
But no, not yet. She wasn't really crazy about it at first. She wasn't really crazy about the idea at first.
The idea of what?
Of me doing it to her. She kind of thought of it as kind of nasty. But now she's getting a little curious about it because what a lot of her friends tell her that it's real good.
Did she think it was nasty because you went, oh, no, oh, yeah, forget it?
What?
Do you think it's nasty?
No, not really. The only thing of limit I have about it is I'm worrying that she'll like it too much because the sex we have now is pretty fulfilling, but I'm worried that she'll like that too much and then I'll have to do that all the time.
Not going to happen, brother.
Wait, what do you care? Ooh,
could happen.
Yeah. What do you care about?
And not want to get sex.
Well, no, not in lieu of, but
that's what she's.
She may start weaving it into the basket of
it
sex.
It could be the most important part of it for her.
Maybe.
Hey, Robert.
Depends on how good you are.
What do you care, Robert? Well, if that's what she wants, that's what makes her most happy. Why don't you want to do that for her?
Well, it's not that she wants it, but she's kind of curious about it. She wants to see what it's like.
Yeah, Robert. Right. Suppose it becomes the most important thing for her. What does that matter to you? You should be concerned with is making her happy. That makes her happy.
If you satisfy your woman. Regardless of how you do it, what do you care?
Well, I satisfy her pretty sufficiently now. It's just I don't want to have to...
You will not answer the question, will you?
No.
You refuse to answer the question.
I do like Robert.
Do you want to be a lawyer when you grow up?
No.
Seriously, dude. Answer the question. How is it going to hurt you if you satisfy your woman?
This way, if it becomes so important to her, who cares?
Yeah, you got a point there.
All right. Same point we had 10 minutes ago, but Robert, let me ask you this. How often does she perform oral sex on you?
Not very often at all. On my birthday, and just about it.
Are you into that? Is it important?
Do you wish you had it more?
I mean, it's not always cut out to be. I think it's just...
He doesn't like it that much.
I agree with Robert, though. This oral sex, kind of like the argument with methadone. It's a slippery slope, you know? I mean, once you get on it...
It's hard to get off.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people would argue not to start at all.
I can't understand how you're comparing it to methadone. It's part of a sexual regimen.
So is methadone in many relationships. But Robert,
the water's fine.
If she gets to the point where she likes it that much, maybe no coming back. So that's what Adam's saying.
Right. All right. Robert,
you guys are such
freaks.
No, she will not cut out the regular sex.
No, she will not. Even if she loves
it. I'm kind of worried that she would choose that over it.
No. She may, in addition to, perhaps, but
yeah, she would like it to be part of the regimen, but...
And I'm betting when Robert employs a sort of half-hearted oral technique, she will not be a huge fan of this. Robert popping his head up with his bad mustache every 10 seconds going, You all right? Are we good? I mean, when do we get to put the X in the box and move on, sweet pea? Robbie, just see
how about you, do you get a lot of that?
I've not had many of these with Robert lately.
That is just retarded to me.
What do you mean? A lot of what?
A lot of guys who, younger guys who don't want to
do oral sex.
Yeah, go downtown.
No, there's certain, I won't call it ethnicities, cultural heritages that, aren't into it.
I know.
Well, and how do
hey,
I get,
man,
how do
I know.
Get into
I,
that group? By
I
the
watch
way?
The Sopranos. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear the beat you're playing.
Donnie.
Hey.
Hey, you're 21. What's up?
Yes. I'm a huge fan of the band.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I got to meet you guys in Salt Lake when I snuck in the sound check last show.
That was you?
Yeah.
Give me back my underwear.
Oh, I will.
Okay. Oh, dear.
So, I've got a question for you, Art. So, between your talk show and your political rallies and all your help with Rock the Vote, are you looking at a chance at a career in politics, or?
God, I hope not. Not unless it pays more.
I'm going to put Donnie on hold because his line is so horrible. But what about
the politics?
Well, not necessarily the politics, but what about just the radio stuff?
Oh, well, I'm having fun with it. I have a show in Portland, Oregon called Blackjack Radio, and it's a combination of music, politics, and attitudes. And, you know, there's a lot of talk radio that's coming from the right, and, you know, I've got an ad in the paper that just shows me my hand holding a card that has a picture of me and it says liberal on it. So I'm an official card carrying liberal.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good ad?
That's good. I don't even put that together. But
I don't know. You know, I like doing it, but you know, the band's the priority.
Now, what do you do when the band goes on tour? Just take a leave of absence?
No, we take it on tour like we did today. We just get an ISD in line and we're solid, Jackson.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Drew, you ready to move on here?
Solid Jackson?
Heather?
I've been watching Three's Company.
Okay.
You're 21. What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for almost a year. And about a month ago, I was on birth control, and a month ago, we found out I was pregnant. We both weren't ready to have kids financially and all that, and we just felt that the best way to go was abortion, and that happened about 2 weeks ago. And ever since then, I mean, I know it hasn't been long enough probably, but, you know, even in 2 or 3 weeks ago that it happened, our sex life has completely stopped. I mean, mm-hmm. He's not ever turned on at all. He never wants to mess around. I don't know if he's just scared that it's going to happen again.
Are you guys using birth control now?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What are you using?
The pill.
How long have you been on the pill for?
Gosh, I've been on the pill since I was like 16.
She was on the pill when she got pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Is that a kid in the background?
It was her voice.
What was that? Yeah. Wow, that was a weird sound.
That sounded like a kid or a dog or something.
You got anything?
Oh, really?
That was you, huh, Heather?
No, I know I sound young.
Easy now.
Heather, so he's concerned that even though you're on birth control pills, that you could get pregnant again. What about adding a condom to the mix?
Right now, I mean, just anything. I've mentioned everything. It's just,
Have you talked about it?
I've tried to, but...
And he doesn't give you any hint why he's so shut down?
Well, yeah, he's very a close person. He's bipolar, so he's not a very talkative person, and it's hard to get him to talk about his feelings.
Is he angry? Did you get this abortion without his consent or something?
No, he totally. He was by my side the whole time, and you know he was.
All right.
We were, you know, agreed on it together, and it was decision we made.
You got pregnant the first time while you're on the pill.
For the first time, I mean, I've been sexually active since I was 16 years old, but I'm 21, and for the first time, I got pregnant on the pill.
Yeah.
Did you miss some pills or something? What is
I'm
that?
Sorry.
Hold on a second. Well, that's Anderson playing at you, jackass. Hold on. Now, what is that sound? Let's hear that.
Since I was like 16.
It's like
that's not her voice.
That
wasn't her voice.
It wasn't her voice. It came off.
It's like a chair moving.
I think she has or she has a pet turkey.
Yeah, I was about to say. Sounds like a turkey in the background.
All right, so listen, Heather. you know, you're going to have to get the guy to communicate a little if you're going to have a relationship with him.
Right.
And, I mean, I can understand. It's just been 3 weeks. Maybe he was a little freaked out.
Right?
I think it's just 3 weeks ago. But she was freaked out. Fine. You can give the guy another week or so.
But there's no way we can know what's going on here. It's pure speculation on our part. He's going to have to tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
And if he's freaked out about you could possibly become pregnant again, you should talk to your doctor about what might have happened that caused the pill to fail, or add a condom to the mix here.
Or maybe he's just upset about what happened, not blaming you. Maybe he's just freaked out by it. Maybe he's having some regrets, and you know.
Like guys would still keep having sex in spite of that.
Most would, but there's a percentage of guys.
There's some of us sensitive guys out there. Come on now.
Well, yeah, you know? True.
But you're not going to know until he tells you anyway.
You know, I'm a tipper, you know?
Yeah.
Come on.
You're gay.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it says online.
Harry?
Hello?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend, she's 19. We live in Chicago because we'll have a band in Chicago, and we go to school, an art school. And, she's originally from Arizona, and she suffered, now I find out a few years in that she suffers from, like, seasonal depression during winter, which is half the year. It's difficult to get her in the mood. I mean,
what's a seasonal depression? Yeah.
It's a tendency to become depressed during the shorter, darker months of the year.
It's seasonal during the arena football season. I get depressed. You know, when the NFL just ends on the Super Bowl. Now I got to watch guys playing like a 40-yard field. Padding all over the place and half a goalpost. That's depressing.
I know. That's where Kurt Warner came from, though. Come on.
I know, but it's still the seasonal depression sets in when I hear like the Rough Riders going against the Wranglers and stuff. Like it scores 87 to 84.
So, Harry, what kind of treatment she had for this?
She has like general anxiety disorder also, but mm-hmm. I mean, she sees a therapist, but I mean, that's...
Have they tried the light therapies on her?
No, they haven't.
How does that work?
It's
a specified kind of light for a specified period of time that exposes them to UV and light intensity and tends to change the brain chemistry in such a way as to decrease the risk.
Do they have to go somewhere to do it?
No, you can get prescribed these light boxes.
They're about
actually, my folks' house, they're up in Oregon, the Californians lived in the house before, and in the bathroom there was a light just box for that purpose because they weren't used to Oregon's rain.
Really?
Yeah. So every morning, I guess like 15 minutes or mm-hmm. something, you just stand in front of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's this certain kind of, I don't know what it's called. It's an alarm clock that lights up the room like.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Have you seen those?
I've never
heard about those.
Not heard about that.
Yeah, man. Go online and look. Look about
those.
Light boxes are about $200 and the light, emanating light. Alarm clock is about $100.
How do you know that?
Very awesome.
The thing about
you been pricing it? Really?
Yeah. The thing about the light box.
Someone close to me uses them, and I'm telling you, after 3 months, there is a marked change.
Really? Wow.
It really helps a lot.
Yeah. Also, during the summer months, you can use them to grow hydroponic weed in your basement.
And it pays for itself.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the off season.
Two harvests, two small harvests, and it pays for itself. One good female plant, and that baby's paid for itself. All right? I bet it would work, right? Through grow light?
I don't know.
Why not?
I'm not up my hydroponics.
You got to hip up to the hydroponics, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wave of the future, man.
It's been the wave of the future since I was 16.
Me too. All right, hold on a second there, Nadia.
Okay.
You're 14. You want to know why did MAP cause her to have...
What's MAP?
Yeah, what is MAP?
Musicians?
Yeah, he means emergency contraceptive pill.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Emergency contraceptive.
Oh, that wouldn't be MAP, would it?
What is that? The day after pill?
Yeah. Morning after. MAP.
Then it is MAP. All right, let's take a little break, all right? Everclear is here. We'll be back with Nadia and MAP after this.
Hi, this is Mark from Blink-182, and you are listening to Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline. I have a really big dick.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Greg and Art are both here from Everclear. www.everclearonline.com is how you find out where all the tour dates are going to be and any other information you need to know. We'll hear Slow Motion Daydream, new CD. We'll hear another cut off that in the 11 o'clock hour. So, you know, our program director out here, Kevin Weatherly, told me many years ago to stop complaining about first-class flight.
And he said stop talking.
Actually, yeah, stop talking so much. I got the only program director who has a guy who hosts a talk show and regularly calls him in his office to tell him to quit talking so much.
Shut up, damn it!
That's true. And that sounded like Weatherly.
Yeah. So, I didn't really sit down and thought about the implications of that. But anyway, I'm going to start complaining. I was flying a U.S. Air from North Carolina back here on Friday. And I was sitting up there in first class where, you know, celebrities of my stature belong. And I I had been awake, coming on about 20 hours at this point. All I wanted to do was go to sleep. And, you know, Drew, I'm a light sleeper. It's difficult for me. And so I put the headphones on. I like to hear a little classical music. Puts me out. And I can't get anything on the headphones. Like, there's nothing coming through it all the way. I keep changing. And sometimes they don't flip it on until they're up at altitude. There's a million different rules with those headphones. Some of them fire it up while they're on the ground. Others are like, we got to wait till we get to cruising altitude. It's all kinds of headphone things. When really it's just plugging in this, like, 8-track in the back. Right. So I said to the stewardess, I said...
Flight attendant.
I said, what's up? You know, we're an hour and a half into this flight now. Nothing's coming through these things. And she said, we cut back on that on March 1st as a money-saving device. You cut back on the AM station you had up in the air? She's like, yeah, it's a money-saving thing. How much money do you save off of this? She's like, well, we don't play anything anymore. And I'm like, hey, I didn't get the memo. I want a memo, by the way. If you do the cut, we do the, you know, money-saving cutback things, I need a heads up, and then I need to see the deduction on the ticket. Like,
what airline do you fly?
This was U.S. Air.
Well, there you go.
And he got nothing. But still, because I was drunk and belligerent, I had to pop him on about every 20 minutes and go through. It's like 14 channels of just nothing. And by the way, how about a little heads up for all the folks that are used to putting the headphones on and going through a thing? Because I went through it at least 8 times before I finally stopped there. And she was kind of belligerent. She was like kind of angry about it. She seemed pissed. U.S. Air, they're angry over there.
They should have made that announcement after the safety announcements that don't even bother to put the headphones on.
I know. I would have saved me. And my fingers is raw from punching that stupid button trying to find my classical music and take a nap. I was immediately in a horrible mood. And then I said to her, you should have told me. I wouldn't have taken the airline. And she just gave this look like, I'm this close to killing myself. I'm this close to popping the hatch on that side door and just taking the leap. Lost the kids in a custody battle. The airline's going under. I got a-holes like you nonstop complaining. Oh, all right. But really, that's a money save. You save money? What, would you have to pay, like, the Beethoven estate money each time you play?
Yes, you do.
Is that what it is?
You have to pay royalties.
That, and they have guys that produce and then commentate on all those things. The voices you hate that drive you crazy.
Hi.
Charge the airline.
Yeah.
Hi.
You have the guy who does, like, this is the other thing that drives me nuts with the classical music on. I like to put the classical music on and lay back and fall asleep, and it's all great. It's beautiful until the blowhard comes in after about minute 6. He goes, that's Tchaikovsky's Fifth Movement, B5. Interesting story. In 1842, Frederick, blah, 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 and now I'm up. And then it's like, now he starts playing something from Handel, and they start leaning back again, and then blowhard comes back again. He lived in the town of Mainz before his parents, a clockmaker, migrated. And it's like, shut up. Shut up. And he tries to pretend he's on the air like us.
Right.
Like,
right.
Us and Art. Not Greg.
Not me.
Air. But, but, I mean, he's like, and this is Air United. I'm John Lippenbar. And it's like, what DJ? What gig is? Where are you? I want to pull a curtain and see the guy sitting there. He does drive time. Please. Cut back. Saving money off this, Drew.
I actually met one of those guys.
I punch him in the nuts.
He said it's a good business. He said,
what business? What does he do? Are they selling advertising time?
Selling pre-produced pieces of programming.
Why does the blowhard have to come in for 20 minutes in between each song? Okay, wait a minute. Now I'm going.
Wait a minute. I want to go back and examine why the blowhard has to come in. You're asking that?
Yes.
Come on.
Why? In between each song? Here's what I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. there's okay. I've said it's been a while, but I just gotta say this.
You need
there's,
to say it there, for us.
There's 14, channels. 16 channels on that airplane, right?
Yeah, right.
And they like a variety. They got some country. They got some jazz show tunes. Like classical, like modern. They got everything, right?
Mm-hmm. We get now, played on it every now and then. It's
right.
Cool. Yeah.
You get maybe a little scratch.
A little
for
something.
That. Right. Now here's all I'm saying. One of the 16 channels, could that not be dedicated for those who like to sleep? One. You know what I mean? You're handing out pillows.
Right.
You're handing out eye shades and blankets.
Do it.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Here you
do
are.
It.
You're talking again.
Stop talking about it. Do
Just
it.
Get it done.
I've yelled at the airline every time I
no.
get drunk. And what?
You have people. Have people. Call people. Make things happen.
I was on the phone years ago.
You have
people.
Never called
I swear I've
them.
Yelled about this. I mean, all I'm saying, out of all the airlines, none of them do it. They would save money if everyone just fell asleep because they wouldn't be getting all those free Bloody Marys and asking for
right.
more desserts and all that kind of stuff.
And flushing the toilet.
Flushing the
stuff.
Toilet. They're yeah. handing out pillows, blankets, and eye shades. One of those 16 channels could be just the sound of the tide rolling in and coming back over the rugged Oregon coast.
Mm.
You go right to bed, and you wouldn't complain.
Uh-huh.
Is this so hard to figure out? Why do I got to think of this? That's all I'm saying. There's 30 airlines. This is my idea. This has never come up before.
Then
the one station.
You're an American. You're a successful, famous American.
That's right.
Do it.
Why don't
it.
You, why don't you right. guys take charter planes? I mean,
right. yeah, I know.
right? Celebrities like you?
Yeah, really.
No, I mean, we don't.
Wait a minute. High profile stuff.
High profile, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't do that, but we don't have a problem with the,
nah,
the music system.
Did someone ask
on
us somewhere when we got off a plane, well, you're Everclear? And we're like, yeah, well, where's your plane?
Yeah, right.
I go right there. Yeah, we just came off that plane. No, where's your plane?
That's oh. almost,
it's in the shop.
Almost famous.
It's in the shop, right. I know.
All right, Nadia, so what's the deal? Do you use the morning after pill, right?
Yeah.
And did it work for you?
What?
Did it work?
Well, I guess. It just made me really sick.
Yeah, it can make you vomit.
How old are you?
14 and a half.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How long have you been having sex for?
Since my birthday.
On the 14th. How's your boyfriend? Who have you had sex with?
Birthday.
He's really good. Well.
How old is he?
21, but hey.
21?
Out here in BC, age of consent is 14, okay? So don't give me all that, like, hey. Oh, he can go to jail.
No, we're not talking about that, sweetie. It's just you're a little young.
You can't use profanity. Understand,
Nadia?
That?
When you're 21,
yep.
And you look back, you look at guys that are dating 14-year-olds, you will freak out.
You will freak out, and when you have a kid that's 14 and some 21-year-olds coming around,
yep.
you'll want to kill them.
Okay.
And not because there's something intrinsically wrong with that age difference, but the kind of guy that would do that is a total a-hole.
What? He gave him his penis for a birthday present? What are you talking about, Drew?
No, this is how it happened, right? We started off just smoking weed together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
yeah,
I've turned the corner with this guy. I like him again.
And,
I didn't know you were smoking weed.
Okay, I know. I can never really make it sound.
You didn't know he was smoking weed with a 14-year-old?
All right. You guys smoke a little weed.
The whole idea of us getting together was, like, out of the question. So, basically, we weren't really scared to become friends.
Yeah, this. Believe me, this guy had a plan.
Straight.
Right,
okay,
not
well,
but it happened anyway.
Thank you for your concern. Then.
He had a concern. He had a plan. So, what was the question you had?
Hold on. Her defense of this guy is, we were smoking weed, and our age difference was so great that it was out of the question that we would get together.
Right.
That's her excuse for the guy
who did it.
Really? It's like saying, he was my neighbor, so it's out of question that he would stab me. Like, that's
okay.
an excuse?
I want to ask her a question.
Yeah.
Nadia.
Yeah.
Does your dad live with you?
Yeah.
He does. He and your mom are still together?
Oh, yeah.
Your real dad?
Yeah.
Your biological?
Yeah.
Alcoholic dad okay. still lives
no,
there?
No, they're good.
Well, what's up? Nadia, she mentioned she was after a person, and I think we're all in accord on that one.
Yeah.
Well, what's up there? She really sounds like a mess.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Antisocial for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, she's like angry and weird.
Yeah, man, she was really, really snotty.
Yeah.
I would have dug her when I was 14.
Yeah.
That was the kind of girl. Well, I was going to say, that's the kind of girl I gravitated to. That sounds like Jenny, didn't it, my ex-wife?
No comment. I'm not commenting.
You're not going there.
No, no.
All right. Let's,
you know it does.
Let's go back to her.
Let's take a little break.
Are you going back?
Well, we'll put her on hold. But
do you have a delay?
Yeah, but we had to reset.
You know, what's great about Nadia, she used the S word early in the call, so I warned her about profanity, and she bounced back with the F word. I'm thinking maybe F mixed with the N word next time, or something. Yeah. Maybe an MF-er. I'm going to be surprised.
Maybe
there.
Smoking a little grass, you know.
Well, you know,
guards like down, and you like that, so it's cool.
She'd make a great witness in court, right? Oh no, Your Honor, we're smoking weed. The age difference was too great, and then he nailed me. I'm still wearing my party hat. All right, let's take a little break. Everclear's here. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. What is that song?
I've always loved New Wave, and I heard it was making a comeback.
Kraftwerk.
It's huge.
No, it's Fisher Spooner.
Fisher Spoon? They make speakers or something?
Fisher Spooner.
Oh, Fisher Spooner.
You would hate these guys so much.
You know, they do techno music, and they make patio furniture.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, they're a Capital band.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Are they really?
Yeah, I love them.
Do they sing? Do they sing? Or are they just... Do the Casio.
No, I think they're singing, but they put on like a big show, I hear, too.
All right. Well, I'm down.
It's a dance club thing.
I'm down with them. Art
the kids
and Greg
like them.
Are both here from Everclear. Slow Motion Daydream, name of the CD. We're going to hear something else off of that in just a couple of few. That comes out Tuesday the 11th, so it's just a day or so from now. Also, you can hear Art on KNRK. Which does not roll off the tongue. I don't know why. Or maybe
just call it NRK.
NRK.
Yeah, everyone does call it NRK, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the K screwing me up. Yeah, I'll just call it NRK.
I used to always want to call it KNRQ for some reason.
Yeah.
There is a KNRQ.
In Portland?
No, not in Portland. No. It's somewhere. There is a KNRQ, or at least there used to be.
You can go to www.everclearonline.com to find out any information you want to find out about the band, tours, and things like that. Nathan?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah, I'm 20. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Man, I love you guys. You guys are the highlight of my day. I listen to you guys every night.
Thanks. Wow.
And Everclear, you guys are awesome. I've listened to you guys forever.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's up?
Yeah, I was just calling because you guys, when I listen to you guys always kind of act negatively towards people when they're a virgin, when they're so old. I was just wondering if I'm messed up for life now or...
No, I would say that's not quite accurate. What we need is an explanation, and in the explanation we'll determine whether or not we react negatively. If you were to say, for instance, I have a firm belief in this, I'm committed to it, it's important to me, and I have some sort of religious overtones to it that are important to me also, we'd say, all right, that's your choice.
Yeah.
But if you said, and we heard something funny in your voice, and Grandpa touched me when I was 5, all right, well, okay.
Okay.
Now we're going to react to it.
All right. But also, if you're Nathan, you're 20, right?
Yeah.
You're virgin?
Mm-hmm.
And why is this?
Well, because I guess my religion, I'm Mormon.
It's something important to you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We actually say it's a good thing.
Do you date?
Well, actually, I'm a missionary right now. And
so you're riding the bike around?
Yeah.
Not cool.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Dallas, Texas.
And where are you doing your missionary work?
In Sacramento.
Oh, just miss Bakersfield.
That would suck, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you need to save those people. That is meth lab alley right in there.
Yeah, like Rio Linda and all that.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, now what do you do? What's a normal day like for you?
Wake up early in the morning, study the Bible and the Book of Mormon and all that good stuff.
What time do you wake up to study?
6:30.
6:30, all right. And you get up and you study the Book of Mormon and the Bible, and then what?
And then we just... go out all day and tell people that Jesus loves them and all
and,
that good stuff.
And do you saddle up? Do you have the bike?
Yeah, I've got the bike.
Now, you guys, is it offensive to, Jehovah or Mormo or whoever's in charge over there, if you're on, like, a mountain bike and doing wheelies or anything? Is there any hot dog in it or, trail riding?
Oh, no, it's all good.
Okay, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Because I'd have a bike that was done up. You know, I'd have like a Klein, you know, with some suspension, a monoshock suspension.
Some polished,
you know,
chrome.
Well, yeah. Who pays for the bike? Do your parents pay for the bike when you go on mission?
Yeah, my parents pay for it.
Okay, well, see, there you go.
You got a decent ride?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a few girls honking at me every once in a while.
Well, sure. There you go. You're a good-looking guy on a cool bike and a suit.
Oh, yeah, you're sporting a tie.
Oh, definitely.
White shirt.
White shirt. Yeah. And you pull up to people's houses?
Yeah. I mean, we go knock on doors or just talk to whoever.
And the bike's nice because it's like bringing the troops in on a glider. You know, you just slide really right up. People don't hear the van pull up or anything. They don't know what's going on until they hear the rap on the door.
I got a story.
That's when my
this.
Bulldog goes crazy. My bulldog hates people like you. He goes nuts when you guys come
by. Well, he's an atheist.
Yeah.
He's into Santeria. Yeah. All right, so it's good. You share the good news. What would you say your batting average is? Well, you knock on 10 doors. What do you? Let's say 10 people answer.
Probably 0 out of 10.
What's that?
0 out of 10?
Yeah.
0 out of 10.
Yeah.
About 50.
Well, a lot of people talk to us, but as in being interested, probably 0 out of 50.
Are you trying to turn people on to Christ or turn people on to being a Mormon?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
And out of 100, what would you say?
I think like the statistic is like 1 out of 1,000 or something.
Wow. And you get up every day and keep going at it, huh?
Yep.
How long do you got to do this before you can go home and marry some blonde girl and have a bunch of babies?
He has to pedal to Wisconsin statistically to get one half of a convert.
Yeah, we go for 2 years.
Go for two years.
Yep. No, with that 1 out of 1,000, that's just somebody that will sit down and talk or somebody who converts?
Oh, someone that converts.
I see.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. And any good stories?
Have you ever got a convert?
I don't know. Kind of, not really.
Any wild stories?
Wild stories.
Have you ever been... Someone tried to seduce you?
Yeah, Lonely Housewives.
We need something here. Give us something.
2 years is a long time.
Now, and what about hitting the same house twice? Like that, I would immediately, like after about 10 days, just wander into the same neighborhood and piss off the same people. Like, do you have some sort of map that you cross off?
Yeah, we have like a specific area, and then we go in and out of areas like all the time. So we do hit a lot of people at more than once. So.
Now, the girls don't do mission work like this, do they?
Yeah, they can when they're 21.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen them. I've never seen them.
I haven't either.
But I have seen the JWs out with the girls.
JWs?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
That's a rival.
But I think...
Go Mormon.
They're like the sharks and the Jets.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They go at it every once in a while. They're snapping their fingers. Stiletto comes out.
Inner city ballet.
They rumble on a schoolyard.
That's a great movie.
Oh, dude.
All right, so and when the girls go out, do they go out teamed up with a guy?
No, it's just two girls and then
two girls. I see two girls, two guys. All right.
I don't know.
Seems kind
of... All right, there.
Well, what did you originally call about?
Oh, because I'm a virgin and I don't want to be weird when I grow up. So
no.
But you're only 20.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I mean,
I was a virgin until I was 19 for no religious reason whatsoever. So
well, he had dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or is that when you stopped being a virgin?
No, that was when I stopped. That's when I was playing the field. After that,
that's when you started getting girls. Hey, Nathan.
Yeah.
Take your time, brother.
All right.
You're going to have lots of blonde kids. It'll be fine.
All right, cool.
All right. So, Art, were you saying earlier you had a story about somebody showing up at the house?
All right. Now, this is back in my drug-taking drinking days. Back, I was 19, 20 years old, living in Hawthorne, California. And this older woman comes, knocks on my door at the ungodly hour of 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I wake up off my mom's couch and... You know, slither over to the door and open it up, and I'm like, a pair of blue jeans and wife beater, and you know, I'm just looking like a very, you know, like Art Carney back in the good days.
Right.
And she's like trying to talk to me about religion, and I'm getting that at home, right? And I don't want to hear that.
Right.
I'm just like, my mom is extremely born again.
Oh, really?
Know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I grew up with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, praying over cars. You know, if your car wouldn't start, everybody come out and pray over it. You know, stuff like that.
Wow.
I was always like,
that worked,
you know,
every time, didn't it?
Yeah, I would go to...
Started
I, my,
right up.
My mom... that never worked. My mom would take me to... make me go to her church, an Assembly of God church, where people like froth at the mouth and speak in tongues and
really?
Just like roll around on the floor. Old ladies rolling around on the floor. And I used to go and I used to take hits of acid with my friends and we'd go to church and watch it happen.
That's very spooky.
But happened, you know, that was happened? At the irresponsible age of 15.
With
at
the lady.
20, this woman comes to the door and she's talking about it. And I'm just like, I don't really want to hear about it. I know about the Bible because I hear it all the time, and I'm just like, look, I'm really not into this. I don't believe what you believe. I respect this. Thank you. I'll take this watchtower from your, what's it called?
That's the watchtower.
Is it the watchtower?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take your comic book from you. Fine. Okay. Thanks. And she leaves. 15 minutes later, she knocks on the door, opens it up. She's there again. And, you know, I'm not going to be rude to her, but I'm going to tell her in no uncertain terms that I don't want to talk to her. I open the door, and there's this really hot chick standing there. And the old woman sitting there with a smirk on her face going, this is my granddaughter, Chelsea. And I'm like, really? Would you guys like to come in?
You get high, baby.
Let's talk religion.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I never got that. I got that when I was living in...
That's all I got, though. If I wanted to pursue Chelsea, I'd have to
convert.
Go down to the Kingdom Hall.
Well, here's the thing that makes their difficult job almost impossible, which is the people they hit. I got hit when I was living in La Crescenta. Same thing, 2 in the afternoon, Tuesday,
hungover.
I'm unemployed. Whatever the reason is, I'm in my underpants, it's 2, and it's the middle of the week, you know? So, you know, I guess in a way they're getting people who could probably use it because they're not gainfully employed and things aren't working out.
Those people are vulnerable to this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're vulnerable to cults and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, if you're home during the middle of the day, you probably are. Yeah.
Very vulnerable.
Yeah.
This is the days before Jerry Springer now. You know?
Right,
when there was nothing on TV.
No, there was
nothing good.
Nothing good, just soap operas, Luke and Laura.
Right.
That's back in the day.
Desiree?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I lost my virginity when I was 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I slept with, like around 13 people. Mm-hmm.
Between then and now?
Yeah.
2 years.
Okay.
Wow. I think that's, like, being promiscuous.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, your age, yeah.
Well,
she's a
slut, but I didn't know if you could say that. So.
All right, what's the question?
I was just wondering if you guys thought it was being slutty.
Well,
we don't sort of judge things that way. We sort of think in terms of why are you so unhappy that you need to do this and what's going on.
Do you enjoy it?
Not really.
No. Yeah. Okay, then you're not doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah, a 16-year-old is doing this really, he's never doing it for the right reasons.
No, absolutely, but I'm just talking to her not like she's a 16-year-old, like she's a person, and just like, even if she was 26 years old, if she had had that many partners, I think.
But even if it feels good, it would feel good because it's part of an addictive process or bipolar or something,
okay.
And if it doesn't feel good, then clearly it's part of a trauma history.
So what are you doing it for, Desiree, if it doesn't feel good?
Because I just try to please everybody else inside
right,
me.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Do when guys approach you, do you sort of freeze and you can't stop, can't say no kind of thing?
No, not really.
No. So you go after a little bit.
If they want to.
Well, let's go to the, we're 0 for 1 tonight, but where's your dad?
I don't know.
Mm. There you go.
Is that out of the picture?
Don't even know his name.
Really? And it always been this way? I mean, he was gone from the beginning?
Yep.
How about stepdads? Do you have any male role models that are worth a damn?
No, not anymore. I mean, I had a stepdad when I was 3, but he kind of molested me, and so I got taken off my mom, and then I got back with my mom when I was 6.
All right, well, there you go.
So you got back with your mom when you were 6?
Yeah, because they took me away from my mom.
Yeah, they took her away.
Because he was abusing
her. Protective.
Right. Yeah.
Yep, there you go.
Well, you know where he is now? Did he go to jail?
I don't know.
You never found out if he...
Well,
was prosecuted.
This is all the result of that trauma. So if you want to stop, I suggest you get some treatment because it's probably not going to stop on its own. It's not the kind of thing you can stop. It's already making you feel bad. If it was just about knowing that it made you feel bad to make you stop, you already would have stopped.
Yeah. You ever gotten counseling?
Yeah. for suicide, though.
Nah. Yeah, you're going to need some counseling for what your horrible stepdad did to you. But, you know...
Did you talk about this in your counseling for suicide?
Not really. I didn't want everybody to know about everything about me.
But do you think that maybe that contributed to your feelings of...
suicidal feelings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Desiree.
Yeah.
And everybody, by the way. And maybe this sounds Pollyanna-ish, but if you're doing some behavior that's really been sort of motivated by some horrible event of the past, and the behavior offers some temporary relief but ultimately makes you feel horrible, isn't the first move just to try to stop the behavior and the second move to get into counseling or do this simultaneously? I mean, you might not have access to counseling at this point, although you should be able to find something, especially being a victim of molestation this way and stuff. But can you stop the behavior?
Yeah.
You can.
Drew.
I haven't had sex for about 6 months.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, but without treatment, what are her chances of really stopping the behavior?
Pretty slim. The research now is showing that traumas like what she describes wires your brain in a specific way, and until it is rewired. And rewiring doesn't mean just changing the behavior. It means changing the way you experience yourself in relation to other people. And the only way that happens is through things like recovery or in individual therapy, therapeutic modalities. They all share the common feature of changing the relationship with the other and rewiring the emotional centers of the brain, which are not cognitive. They're not things you can reason yourself into or change by reading a book about it. Those are intellectual, conscious processes that are really very, very different in terms of how they work and how they change.
All right, so Desiree,
yeah.
Here's the thing. You got your work cut out for you, but it's not a death sentence. I mean, it just means you're going to get some therapy and you're going to do some work and you're going to be ahead of everyone else you know when you're 18.
Right, that's right.
That's it. And you'll just be one of those stronger people that overcame adversity.
Yeah, and this would have been a period of your life when you were a kid, and you'll learn from it.
And hopefully you won't look at it as something that you've used a lot of negative, pejorative words about yourself. I'm a slut, I'm this. Like, no, it's part of having been traumatized, a natural part of the human system. That's how the humans react when they've been through those sorts of traumas.
This is why these stepdads just need to have a rusty sprinkler key put in one ear until it pokes out the other ear, because... This is a gift that keeps giving. You know what I mean? I mean, not only do you traumatize and horrify some 3-year-old, 6-year-old, whatever, but now you have this. Mm-hmm. This is it. This wounded person, this sort of shell of a person can just go on and attempt to take on life. Enjoy. And that's what I hate about these guys.
And there's plenty of predators that will take advantage of her.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I know. When... I got divorced from my ex-wife, and she remarried and started seeing someone. You know, I was really worried about it. She met the guy online, but he ended up being a wonderful man. He's a wonderful stepfather and a good father to his own children with my ex-wife. So I'm really lucky as far as that goes. But one of the reasons my mom never remarried is because of this issue, where she grew up in the South, the Deep South. Stepfathers were just...
Predators.
Yeah, predators, basically. Mm. And she just did not want that brought around her children.
Is that something happened to her?
She never admitted to it.
Yeah.
But she came from a family of 13, 14 kids.
Ooh.
So, and a lot of them were boys. And there's a lot of her sisters were pregnant before they were married, and not necessarily by the man they married. So that, and it wasn't just her family. It was... pretty widespread, and this is the 30s, 40s, 50s.
It's a classic Jewish family. I know I can hear all the traits. True, am I right? I mean, stop me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Go on.
I know a Jewish family when I hear it. Tons of kids, everyone getting it on, everyone pregnant before they're done with high school. All right, let's cheer up with a little Everclear song. Hey, Anderson, come on now, buddy boy.
This is a real happy song.
Come on, Anderson. You want to hear it when we get back, Anderson? You don't like, yeah? We don't got time.
Anderson doesn't like my band.
No, he's a stickler for time.
All right,
so why don't we take a break? We'll break just a minute early, and we'll come back, and we'll hear an Everclear song after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Greg and Art are both here from Everclear. to have a nice cheery discussion during the break about dismemberment, abduction, and rape.
Good times.
It's good times, but, you know, something ran through my head, and we talk about this all the time, Drew, but we never really talk about it in these terms. And don't do one of those condescending, oh, yes, we do kind of things when I think I'm stumbling onto revelation, like the classical music thing. I mean, we talk about on this show, you know, what happens, how these guys get molested, they get abused, and then they go on to abuse and molest and do all this horrible stuff. And it all sort of gets woven into this bigger quilt of screwed up people cranking out tons of kids who cannot take care of these kids and who have no real financial or spiritual or emotional ability to do it, and creating a whole sort of generation of the thieves and murderers and molesters, pedophiles, and all this kind of stuff. But also all the victims that come from this, meaning we always talk about the fact that somebody gets victimized, you know, when they're young, and then they end up getting victimized when they're older too. But just sort of on a global scale, an extremely high percentage of these poor people that get abducted, get raped, get killed on, you know, the prostitutes that get picked at the Green River killers, killing all stuff,
had been abused.
This is the other side of the people who shouldn't have had the kids in the first goddamn place. It's like they go two directions. Like we shouldn't have kids, so we have four kids. Well, two of you got to be victimizers, and then two of you got to be victims. Right. Yeah, it's like they're almost creating this sort of never-ending circle and this supply.
But this goes back generations.
This started Wednesday.
But see, that's the thing.
No, I know.
I honestly believe that this, you know, there's been a more rational, but maybe they're more publicized. I was going to ask you, Drew, this is a dialogue that I think needs to happen on a larger scale, is that why are all these abuse and why are the numbers of men who are sexual predators just escalating?
Well, two things. One is, when somebody becomes an abuser, they don't just do it once.
No, absolutely.
They do it dozens or maybe hundreds of times. And so now there's exponential growth built into abusing someone.
All the people that they
abuse. So if you abuse and they abuse 100, then those 100 now each abuse 100, or at least 60% of them each abuse.
But don't you think it's generations as well? So, people not talking about it?
Well, so it's uncontrolled growth in it right now. And in the old days, society would contain it. You know, sexuality was something that was contained, and sexual behaviors were sort of, they were judged or looked at, you know, carefully. Now it's like, hey, whatever you're into, it's your thing. You go whatever, do whatever you want. And boom, people do. And that's where this thing is just running like wildfire. You're not, and then there's also this massive denial that it comes from the abuse. People aren't willing to even look at that. So you can't look realistically at what causes this, so it becomes a criminal issue. And that, of course, doesn't do anything. It's like trying to put Adam in jail for his boob fetish. He gets out of jail, boobs are still game on.
Oh,
Bouncy,
yeah.
Bouncy.
Probably with a vengeance when I get out of prison.
Even more so.
For the first few weeks.
No, really?
That's a really double down.
We actually,
after spending all the time with your friend Dominique.
Yeah. Adam and I talk about this all the time, that this is something that drives us crazy, that can't be talked about.
Well, it's like, you got some 55-year-old guy has a hankering for 8-year-old penis, and he spends 24 months in the pen, and all of a sudden he's supposed to be cured. And I say it all the time, look, we all like what we like. Drew likes his Dizzy Blondes, I like my big jugs, everyone likes what they like in a woman, or is attractive. I mean, we're all heterosexual here. If someone put us in jail for being heterosexual, let us stew for 5, 8, 10 years, we just get out, we still want what we want.
Absolutely
right. And what I'm saying is even though we deem their behavior deviant, that's their behavior. Why should it be any different for them?
Okay, here's a question, and this is, can you be rehabilitated?
Sometimes.
No.
Sometimes not.
Okay, most cases that I've ever heard of or seen or met or talked to people, no.
Well, only some of the newer techniques where it's approached as a sexual addiction, sexual compulsion.
Okay.
And there are people like Patrick Carnes down at the Meadows, and there's places up here, Del Amo Treatment Center. People, they do have some success.
For like pedophilia.
Absolutely. And their goal is to try to get people before they hurt other people, because they know eventually they will.
When they're having the thoughts in their heads and the ideas.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very delicate process, and it doesn't always work. But these are extremely tender, painful issues that have to be managed, and the people that are the abusers.
All right, let's take a call and then hear Everclear song. And Drew, find me
a good one.
Find me a good one.
You mean an upbeat one?
Yeah, something. That's
how about an art question?
Little on the lighter side.
Yeah. Art? Oh yeah, I'm upbeat.
Dave.
Yeah.
You're 31. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'll make this real brief for you guys. I got a quick question for Drew, and then one for Art. I am on Paxil now for depression,
mm-hmm.
and. I don't.
Yeah, it's nice.
I don't feel it's really working for my depression. I think it takes my anxiety away.
All right. Yeah.
But,
what kind of doctor is treating you?
Just a
regular doctor.
Endocrinologist.
All right. So it may be time to see a psychiatrist if you're really having genuine major depressive episode, and you're willing to take or need to take medication for it. Maybe it's time to see an expert. Paxil's not a great antidepressant. So very
it's good for anxiety.
Very specific situations, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody gave me a bunch of Seroquel. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Seroquel is more of a, it's a newer class. It's a what's called an atypical antipsychotic, and it's good for agitation. Not a great antidepressant, but maybe we use with an antidepressant would be useful.
Okay.
But you shouldn't be taking stuff on your own.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. I know a ton about these things. I wouldn't dream of prescribing stuff for myself.
Yeah, I'm a carpenter. I wouldn't dream of working in my own house. Drew, you're such an idiot for that. Just give yourself your drugs.
No, you can't be objective about your subjective experience.
I could be objective.
Wait a minute, what did you say?
You can't be objective about your experiences. It's a subjective experience. You're
Drew,
having the experience. So
I know,
can't be
but just the way you said it sounded like mumbo jumbo.
Drew, that's so jejune.
It's why a doctor can never prescribe for himself or his family. His brain doesn't work. You can't be objective about yourself. Or
absolutely.
Family.
Yeah.
True. You missed my whole jejune.
I heard. I was going to get back on you. I'm the most jejune person you know.
I'm doing a little Woody Allen.
Hey, Art, I wanted to tell you, I lived in Portland since 77, and I just moved out to Boise just last year because I had some addictions I was trying to get away from. And Sparkle and Fade, you guys... has been a great inspiration for me.
Thanks.
I just wanted to tell you.
Yeah. Did you get away from your addictions? No.
I did for.
Dave, there's no such thing as getting away from one addiction.
Even if you go to Idaho?
That was my point.
Not even in Idaho.
Really?
And you can get dope anywhere.
Yeah,
can't
you? Yeah. Anywhere you want to.
Yeah.
I did for about 8 months and it was great. And then I've been struggling. I would say about the last 4 months.
Have you gone to a program? Have you been in NA or AA or anything like that?
No, not yet.
All right. If you want to get clean, man, you got to get help. You got to get other people involved, and you got to follow the steps. And it will work. It worked for me. It works for a lot of people. It really does.
All right, Dave. Listen to Art. And don't just listen to the music. Listen to what he's saying to you.
But what station is the show? Anyone wants to know.
Huh?
Your show.
Yeah, what station is your radio show?
It's on KNRK, 94.7.
Portland.
Okay, 101
Portland.
There.
No, Portland.
Portland, Oregon.
94.7.
94.7. Oh, okay.
Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's still in Boise, though.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
I think I'm
sure
Portland
he knows that, though.
He probably thinks I'm like you guys, got a big shot show where you can hear it everywhere.
Oh, those days are ahead for you, though, my friend.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll get paid as much money as you guys get.
Yeah, you wish. Fly first class and complain. Just save
crappy
money.
Tipper.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
And I could tip people a buck.
Oh, wow. Oh, the poor guy.
Good times.
Hung my head in shame.
Did you see the guy's face? Did it just like...
Oh, he was a big black man, too, which I can't help it. I give the black guy a little extra, a little something for the, you know.
Was that guilt?
For the man.
Yeah,
is that Jewish guilt?
I got a little white guilt. I'm not Jewish, but I still have some Jewish guilt. Yeah.
There you go.
There's no racial bigotry here.
I give the brother man a little something extra. I do. Yeah, that's right. I give the... I'm trying to think if I do. I don't do it with the Mexicans and the Chinese and the Japanese, but I give a little something to the brother man. That's my thing. Apparently, it's not Drew's thing, though. He's colorblind when it comes to not tipping.
Makes no difference to him.
Nope.
All right, Ebenezer, we're done riding you. Let's hear an Everclear song, all right? Anderson, you are ready to go? This one's called The New York Times.
We'll be right back.
Everclear, everybody. Old buddies, Everclear.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know what's odd about that is I'm a professional drummer, but I don't play drums on any of my own recordings. I always bring someone else in, keeping with what Drew does with his own prescriptions and stuff.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because you have to keep that.
You have to sit back and watch somebody drum, and then advise them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, do you think a painter would paint his own house, or a body and fender guy would
like
fix his own station wagon?
Yeah, like a guitar player who writes songs would play guitar and sing on his own song.
Well, not in the studio. No.
No.
Because you know why? Because you don't have the distance you need to really judge yourself.
Shut up. What do you think I do for a living?
I'm saying you do it fine. You do it on other people's records.
Right,
then have other people come in and do your records.
Adam, Art's going with you too far. He's
no,
in.
No, I'm just, you know, I listen to most of the people that call into your show. I listen to your show a lot. I almost call in every night and just go, hi. Hi, my name's Horace, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
Right.
But I never do that. I wish I probably could.
Well, don't use the horse now, because we'll know.
Okay.
We'll know. It's
I can't use that voice either. You'll know.
No, we'll know. And Drew will recognize your voice.
No.
Yeah, Drew's good.
Yeah,
Drew's
good. Crazy good She's that good, way. Yeah.
I got a pretty distinctive voice, too. Yeah.
Oh, if you were to call in and be yourself, I'd know it immediately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right, but he almost calls in every night.
Yeah.
No, I want to, because I like you guys, and I want to call in and just go, you know, you guys missed the boat on that one.
I'll call in whenever. Well, don't call us.
Because sometimes you guys are so rude. Yeah, see, you don't want to hear that.
Don't call when we missed the boat. Call us when we've made the boat.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone wants to call in when they disagree. How about calling in when you agree?
Because it's more fun.
For you, it is.
No, it's more fun. If you were on the other side of it, and you were in Portland, and you heard me screw up on
That's
my radio show, you would call
That's
in.
That's the point. It's more fun for the caller, not for the host.
But I know you, Adam. You would call in and give me a hard time.
Well, I almost call your show every night.
You should.
Yeah.
Or once
every Sunday.
See, yeah, every
Adam
Sunday.
Almost gets off the sofa every night. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
call
sure.
a radio show? Are
Adam's
you high?
In his room with his ham-operated radio so he can pick up the Everclear show.
Very enthusiastic about the remote control, but that's it.
All right, let's take a little break. This radio show has turned into a roast all of a sudden. I'm getting uncomfortable with the direction it's going.
All right, that's
right. We'll be right back.
I got your back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Everclear is here tonight. Art and Greg are both here from the band. New CD is called Slow Motion Daydream. Comes out Tuesday, March 11th. So that's coming up in just a couple of days now, kiddies. And if you want to find out anything about tour dates for the band that Drew is holding right now, you can go to www.evercleareonline.com.
Chicago, April 3rd, Riviera Theater. Minneapolis, April 2nd, First Avenue. Kansas City, April 1st, Uptown Theater, March 29th, Grand Forks, North Dakota, University of Grand Forks, I believe it probably would be.
Yeah.
Grand Forks. Grand Forks here. Yeah. University of North Dakota.
All right, true.
Where are we at on April 12th?
April 12th, Columbus, Ohio, that's Promo West Pavilion.
What about April 18th?
That's his birthday.
New York, Roseland.
Oh, you're kidding. We're playing New York on my birthday?
Absolutely, dude.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah, and that's the exact venue where I met my wife.
Oh, really? Where's that?
Roseland.
New York City.
Yeah.
Where's that in New York?
Yeah, where is that?
It's Midtown.
It's right across from the Letterman Theater.
Yeah.
Wow. On Broadway?
It's the old Roseland Theater where all the big bands used to play. Benny Goodman.
Oh, yeah, man. It was Russian immigrants, right?
Yeah, I've never been Russian in there.
It was a Russian ballroom.
Oh, yeah. I've passed that place a bunch of times.
It's a big place.
It's right across the street from the Letterman.
Yeah, it doesn't... It's not full of lights and marquees and stuff in the front, is it?
No.
It's kind of.
I don't know. I've never been in out the front.
We always go out the back door. No, the front door. There's a little marquee, but it's not big.
All right. Well, you will see Everclear's name on that on the 12th,
18th.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Greg's
it.
Birthday.
My birthday.
Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Liz. You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. Well, first of all, I don't want to say I love your show.
Thanks.
All right, and Everclear, I love you too. But my boyfriend wants to have sex with me, and I really, really want to have sex with him too. But I don't want to.
How come? You want to, but you don't want to.
Yeah.
All right. Why?
Because I don't really think I'm worth it.
You're worth it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
How old is he?
15.
Yeah. And you guys been together for how long?
About 4 or 5 months.
Wow, that long?
Yeah, well, let's just, I'm going to look up on the screen here. It says are you a cutter?
Yeah.
Are you ashamed of the scars or something?
The scars are just mostly on my lower leg.
Yeah.
So, and just my dad abuses me.
Physically?
Yeah.
Mm. Sexually?
No.
Physically.
And how often does he do this?
Just whenever he goes off. Like, tonight we had a fight, but nothing. He didn't hit me or anything, but he threatened to.
When's the last time he hit you?
About a week ago.
And does he drink?
No.
He does this sober?
Yeah.
Does he get high on anything else, you think?
No, he doesn't.
Just a rageaholic.
Yeah, kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
And is he giving you black eyes? He hurts you? Does he hit you with his fist?
Yeah, he's hit me with his fist before.
Have you ever called anybody about this?
Yeah, DCF and everything is all into it and everything. They're, like, investigating it.
And he's still doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm amazed that you're still with him. You're still in that household if you've reported it.
Well,
is your mom in the picture?
She lives with us and everything. They're still together, but she tries to stay out of it.
Ah, boy.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, my brother. He's 22.
Does he help you out at all?
No, he moved to Orlando.
Oh, jeez. All right, well, listen, let's just stay with the boyfriend thing. Strangely enough, in your feelings of lack of self-worth, you're actually doing something that protects your worth, and that is sort of not getting engaged in exploitative sexual relationships. And, you know,
well, at 14.
And or getting involved on a level you may not be ready for at your age. So in a way, these feelings are sort of motivating you into behaviors that are on your own behalf.
Yeah. Now, what about the Child Protective Services? They haven't sent over any counselors or anything like that?
No, not yet.
Are they going to?
Yeah, they're supposed to.
All right. In the meantime, slow down. Don't worry about the having sex part. You want to have sex. Great. Normal. He wants to have sex with you. Also normal. He wants you. He desires you. He likes you. That's the reality. You coming to terms with the worth issue is going to take some time and work. But just try to accept the fact that there's somebody who really does want you and does care about you.
And what about the cutting? Can you slow down on that?
No, I just, I cut myself tonight already.
That's how you deal with the stress of the fights and all? Yeah. The cutting induced... Did you cut ever, Art? Did you tell me that? No. It induces sort of an opioid effect on the brain that creates some numbing and numbs out some of the pain from these sorts of traumatic experiences.
It releases pain and everything.
Yeah, it releases chemicals that numb the pain. Art's throwing up his sleeved arms. That's how he does it.
I have tattoos, and they hurt, but I also get a feeling from them.
Yeah.
Of that. So, you know, there's probably a little bit of that.
And I've really thought about killing myself because of everything that's happened. It's like, I'm traumatized.
Yes.
From what I've seen.
Yes.
What I've seen and what I've been through. I know I'm traumatized. All of my friends tell me I am. I know I am.
Okay. Well, that's a place to start.
Yeah. Actually, knowing you're traumatized is actually better than not knowing you've been traumatized.
And thinking your behavior is something intrinsic in who you are. This is behavior and feelings that come from having been traumatized, and there is help for that.
But, Liz,
yeah.
In the meantime, and I know you got a lot of horrible feelings and you want to act out and stuff, can you spend time with your friends, spend time at school, do good at school? You know what I mean? Stay out of your dad's crosshairs a little bit.
Well, he gets pissed off about the easiest...
No, but just stay away from him.
I know, but... I know it's not your fault, but on the other hand, you don't dance with him.
Get away from him. Just stay away. Keep your distance. All right?
Yeah, I do.
All right. All right.
Good.
All right.
And slow down with the boyfriend and get that help from the teachers.
Right. Because I know the other part of this is you got this volatile prick of a dad, and then there's that feeling of wanting to sort of engage him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the feeling you got to let go. Mm-hmm. I mean, if this guy's abusive and...
She can't have that kind of gratification. That will not be a satisfaction that will be helpful to her.
What kind?
The kind where she fights it out, you know, and tries to express her aggression.
Right.
That won't be useful.
Right. Listen, I say it all the time. I don't know if it works, but you know, I wasn't big fans of my parents growing up. I just stayed out of the house. You get some friends that you like. You spend time with them. You almost adopt their family. Go over there and you eat dinner and you sleep over on weekends. And then you get involved with some sports or something after school. And the next thing you know, you're never coming home.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's good times. Then you move out and you never go home. Go back to Thanksgiving and use booze to numb the pain. That's what I do.
Then you abuse your parents when you're there.
Yeah.
Chad, 26. Chad?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, they deserve it.
I've been married for a little over a year now. My wife's 25, and we've been having some problems in the bed. A few months after we got together, I found out that she'd been abused when she was younger twice.
Yeah. Ooh. After you got together or after you got married?
After we got together.
All right.
She told me about it, and I've tried to talk to her about getting some counseling and whatnot, and I just, you know, I'd like to get some advice on what I can do to make it better, because one of my things is I like to get her off before I do, and she won't let herself get off.
Ever?
Ever.
Can she? Has she ever done that? Has she ever had orgasms?
Yeah, she has a toy that she uses, and she's, you know, got off that way.
Why don't you bring that in with you guys?
She won't.
It's an actual full-size robot.
Oh, it's actually...
Yeah, it's not... He says toy. It's not... It's a full-size. It's made by Honda.
Oh.
It's $1.6 million. It's interactive intelligence and a cyber skin.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hey, Chad, something that's interesting is you said that you always like to get her off before you get off, and then she never gets off. So how's that work for you?
What I meant is I like to get the women off, like my ex-girlfriends. I like to get them off.
Right, that's your policy.
You take care of them, then they take care of you.
Yeah.
Right, but you've had to bend your policy for this one.
Yeah.
All right, and you're a little angry at her, too, for not getting help?
No, it hurts, you know.
It hurts.
Yeah.
I got a very definite bogus
vibe. You're pansy! Yeah, there's something wrong with Shad. Yeah. Either this is bogus, or you just have difficulty coming across as sincere.
No, I'm telling the truth, you know, because I want to be able to please her.
Yeah.
And I feel like a failure because I'm not pleasing her.
We don't have
whatever.
Time to
get that. All right, so Chad, you got to get her to some help then.
Yeah, I mean, maybe start with couples work in terms of making this work out, the fact you're having unpleasant feelings. She's obviously, you're getting conflicted over this. Yeah. Together, go see someone.
But
that's
look, that whole thing where somebody was a victim and now you've made it your torch to carry about. No. I like to get her off.
Yeah.
She got to get off.
That's not
She's
right.
got to take care of herself and some therapy, and then she can get off that way.
That's right.
And meanwhile, you get that robot to do all your house cleaning. Do your bidding, too. You know what I mean? Wash a car.
Bidding? You don't hear that. That's very medieval.
Her name is Rosie.
Thanks.
Yeah. She's wisecracking. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. You know, it's funny. I always thought this song was like a newer U2 song, and I was like, I like this song, but I don't really like U2 that much. I wonder why I like this song.
Who is it?
And then,
it's Coldplay.
I found out it's Coldplay, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I like Coldplay. Like Coldplay.
So I did the exact same thing, Adam.
You did that, too?
Yeah, I hated it because I thought it was U2, and then when I found out it wasn't, I loved it.
But I at least thought to myself, hey, I kind of like this riff, but then I kept thinking, I guess I got to readjust myself here because I thought this was U2, and I never liked U2 that much. But
you know what's cool about Coldplay? Is they're a band that plays instruments.
Yes, and they're good live.
Isn't that cool?
And they're nice guys
nice
that
guys.
Came in here.
Nice, really nice guys. Really conscientious. And they write melodies.
We got a roll. Everclear, everybody. New CD coming out in just a couple of days. www.everclearonline.com. Thanks a lot, fellas. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. And know what the ladies like? They like giving me oral.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Executive producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.